All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin, Baruch Hashem, a lot to do today. Begin by thanking our sponsors, the Talmud Torah sponsors, for the month of Tishrei. To thank Dr. Linda Weinberg, Sarah, Enrique Gratz, Julia, Rina, and Eve, in loving memory of husband, father, Zeda, Dr. Paul Weinberg, Peretz, Moshe, Ben Avram, David. To thank Ayal and Sarah Steinberg for dedicating the Shurim this month in the Schus of Rafu Shalema for Shulamis Bas Susha. To thank Adam and Yudit Ben Zev for dedicating the Shurim this month in the Schus of all of our Tfilos being Niskabel. Our week of learning sponsors Greg and Rachel Levitan in commemoration of the first yard site of Greg's mother, Esther Bas Herschel, and in honor of the incredible organization Renewal. To thank our Daf Yomi sponsors, Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld, in appreciation of the Kehila, Gabi Cohn, Maishi Abramson, Avron Elbaum, the Bali Kriya, Shani Tapper, Alana Levinson, Jonathan Kaplan, and all those who contributed their time and effort so that we can enjoy a truly inspirational and uplifting Yom Tov. Amen, amen. Now we'll say with that, let us begin. So we'll say, so we are picking up. Today's daf is Tzadik Gimel. 93. And I'm about to say, we left off at the Mishnah. We left off at the Mishnah. So I'm about to say, so really incredible sugya today. Here we go, 93. Misha haya nasui shalosh nashim. Someone who is married to three women, umeis. No surprise there, right? So I'll say, so the Mishnah says as follows. So someone was married to three women and he died. Now I'm about to say, now in this case over here, right, he died. Obviously, he's married to all three women at once, and he dies. So what's the halacha? Now, we'll say, now, this is a fascinating case. Ksuvaso shalzu mana, vishalzu masayim, vishalzu shalosh meos. Now, each wife had a different value of a ksuva. So just for our purposes, let's call it again, the first wife has a ksuva of 100 zuz, second wife of 200 zuz, third wife of 300 zuz. Now, here's the problem. Ve'ein sham ella mana. Now I will say now the estate only leaves behind the mana. Leaves behind 100 zuz. So the shaila, of course, is how do we go ahead and distribute the property? So what's the halacha? Cholkin b'shava. Ultimately, we just split up the one mana equally. Equally, so everybody gets 33.3 zuzim from the one mana, that is left in the estate. Hayu shamasai, and they both say now, okay, so that's a basic case. That's a basic case. Three different ksuvas, 100, 200, 300, only 100 zuz left in the estate. Take the 100 zuz, divide it equally between the three wives. Now, both say a couple of important qualifications in this Mishnah. If you take a look at Rashi says, shalzumana, shalzumana, shalzumasai, almost right across in Rashi, ushloshtam nechtemu biyom echad. Now, both say, this is a case of where all three ksuvas are dated on the same date. He married all three of these women on the same day. Now let's say, now again, it has to be that way, right? Because if it's not that way, then what's the halacha? Obviously, the earlier the ksuva, the earlier the claim, right? So it has to, in other words, anytime we're talking about three women sharing equally in the pool of the estate, it must be that they were married on the same day. And I've also said, now the truth is, remember, it doesn't actually have to mean he married them on the same day. It just means that the ksuva is dated on the same day. So remember again, you could construct a case where you have ksuvas dated on the same day, even if marriages happen on different days, but we don't have to get into that right now. The point that we have is, from a lien perspective, even though the value of the three ksuvas is different, 100, 200, 300, the date is the same for all of them, so therefore all of them effectively have the same lien, right, on the estate. Good. So cholkos b'shave, Rashi says over here, sharikoach shloshtan shave b'shibud mana tibikulu ikamana. And I will say, when you read this, it sounds strange. Right, that all three of them split the first mana. After all, again, we would assume that the one who has a ksuba of 300 should have a greater percentage, or at least a greater grip. Here's what we're going to see is all of them have that same claim on the 100. That's really what happens over here. Because we're about to say, since all of them share a common denominator, that's what? They all have a ksuva, that's what? That is worth at least 100. So therefore, in that first 100, right, both wife 1, 2, and 3 all have the same claim. Okay, good. Therefore, they split that first 100 equally. Hayushamasayim. Aye, what happens if there's 200 zuz in the estate? So same case. Reuven married to three women, right? Wife one, wife two, wife three. And therefore, again, but this case, same case. Wife one, ksuv of 100. Wife two, ksuv of 200. Wife three, ksuv of 300. And now there's 200 zuz left in the estate. So what's talacha? So the Gemara says, shalmana noteles chamishim, shamasayim v'shalshlosh me'os shlosha shlosha. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the way this will work is like this. Wife number one gets 50 zuz. Wives number two and three both get 75 zuz apiece. 75 zuz apiece. The Gemara will go through how we arrive at these numbers. So the Gemara says, good. Good. Hayusham shloshmeos. What happens? So I'll say, so again, so case two, there's 200 zuz in the estate. If there's 200 zuz, wife one gets 50, wives two and three get 75 each for a total of 200. Again, we'll discuss how we get to those numbers. Hayusham shloshmeos. What happens now if there's 300 zuz in the estate? We'll say, same case. Wife one has a ksuv of 100, wife two a ksuv of 200, wife three a ksuv of 300, and now again there's 300 zuz in the estate. What's the halacha? Shamana, no telas chamishim. So the wife who has a ksuva of 100 zuz, she ultimately gets 50 zuz. She gets her 50 zuz. For shamasayim mana, the wife who has a ksuva of 200 zuz gets 100. For shalshlosh me'os, shisha shel zav. And the wife who has a ksuva of 300 zuz, she collects 150 zuz from the estate. So in this case, the distribution will be 50, 50, 100, 150. V'chein gimel, so we'll say, so those are the halachas. Those are the halachas. Now the Gemishta just says, v'chein gimel shetilikis. Now we'll say, we're going to spend a good amount of time on this case, because the truth is, this is absolutely riveting. These same halachas apply in business. Now, I will say, this is a very common situation. Gimel shetilu lekis. I will say, what happens if halacha lemaisa, three people, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, invest in a business together. And what happens? I will say, let's say they invested differing amounts. Reuven invested 100 zuz. Shimon invested, let's just keep it parallel to the ksuva cases. Right? Shimon invested 200 zuz, and Levi invested 300 zuz. So the Mishnah says, Pichsu ahosiru. Now we'll have to see what this means, but what it sounds like is, if the business made money or lost money, kach heim cholkin. Kach, now we'll say, again, all of these words are a little bit ambiguous, but it sounds like what the Mishnah is saying is that profit or loss sharing ratios are based on what? Based on what? Amounts of investment. Amounts of investment. So the amount you share in the profits, the amount you share in the loss is fundamentally tethered to the amount of money you invested into the business. Okay, we're going to come back to, we're going to talk about that business case because it's absolutely riveting. But let's start with the ksuva. Gemara. Shamana no telas chamishim, tlasin v'tilso hu de islay. So we'll say, the Gemara says like this. Let's go to the first case. Right, in case number one. So ultimately, again, Reuven's married to three women. Wife A, ksuva of 100. Wife B, ksuva of 200. Wife C, a ksuva of 300. In case number one, I will say, there's one mana, ultimately in the estate. So what's the halacha? Cholkin b'shava. In case number two, ultimately again, so we'll say, cholkin b'shava. So the way it's said, I will say, again, I'm sorry, let me just, so the way it's said, cholkin b'shava, good. So the Gemara says, well, cholkin b'shava would mean what? 33.3 for each wife. But yet, I will say, if you look in case number two, so case number one just says they split it equally, but it doesn't say what? How they're splitting it. In case number two, where the Mishnah says there's 200 zuz left in the estate, so ultimately, again, it says what? It says that in the first mana, wife number one takes 50, right? Shalmanamas. So I say, which sounds like they're again splitting the first mana. But if you're splitting the first mana, doesn't that require a chalukah of 33.3 zuz per woman? Where do you get 50? To which the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, because seves balas masayim, the balas mana, Din udvarim ein li imech b'mone. Interesting. So Shmuel is saying, what's the case? The case is where the wife, with the ksuva of 200 zuz, writes to the wife of the ksuva of 100 zuz, I have no claim on the first money of the estate. Interesting. Well, if she has no claim on the first money of the estate, that means that there are only two women claiming the first money of the estate. We'll call it wife one and wife three. And that's why we'll split it literally 50-50. 50 zuz, 50 zuz. Okay, ihaki ima seifa. I will say, but again, then look at the last case of the Mishnah. Shama saim v'shal shlosh meos shalosh shalosh shal zahav. So I will say, so then again, in the last case of the Mishnah, ultimately, again, we were talking about each of the wives gets 150 zuz. Temala hasalakta nafshach mina. Why doesn't it claim back again to wife number two? You removed yourself from this zuz. Mishum da amrile midinu dvarim hu disaliki nafshay. Ultimately, again, the only thing I removed myself was from the first mana, but I did not remove myself from any of the other manos. Okay? Hayusham shalosh meos. So remember again, last case of the Mishnah, if there was 300 zuz left in the estate. So remember again, how do we deal with that one? So we'll say, so ultimately, wife number one gets 50, right? Wife number two and wife number three get 150 each. So it says the Gemara. So, hayusham shalosh good. Shamasayim mana. I don't understand. The wife number two, she gets 100. Why did she get 100? Shivim v'chamishu hudisla. She should really get 75 if we're dividing everything. Amar Shmuel, because seves ba'alos shlosh me'os leba'alos masayim or leba'alos mona din udvarim inli imachem emana. So we'll say once again, Shmuel says, what's the case? The case is where the wife with the 300 zuz ksuva, writes to the wife of the 200 zuz ksuva and the 100 zuz ksuva, I have no claim on the first mana with you. So wife of 300 zuz ksuva is removing herself from the first mana. And I will say, why she's doing that is irrelevant, but she's doing that. So therefore, Rav Yaakov minar p'kod m'shrid ravina amar reisha b'shtei tfisos u'v'seifa b'shtei tfisos. So what's that comes on Rav Yaakov of Nar p'kod said name of Ravina. The truth is, both the reisha and the seifa are talking about, literally, tfisa means to take money, to seize money. What it means is that the funds are becoming available for collection in two different intervals. So here we go. Reisha b'shtei tfisos. What does it mean, reisha b'shtei tfisos? The naflu shivin v'chamisha b'chad zimna. So what's it's very interesting. 75 zuz became available at once. Now, Bosai, when 75 zuz becomes available at once, they split that equally. B'chad zimna. Umeya v'esem v'chamisha. And then another 125 zuz becomes available separately as well. Then I will say, ultimately, again, that will also, so 75 of that, they'll divide up equally, and the remainder of that amount will go to wives 2 and 3. Seifa b'shtei tfisos, similarly again, the Seifa, the second part of the Mishnah, is also talking about, again, I will say, where the money becomes available for collection at two different intervals. So ultimately, 75 zuz becomes available at once, and therefore, when 75 zuz becomes available at once, it's divided equally between all three women. And then what? And then ultimately, again, 225 zuz becomes available at once as well. So the Gemara says, Tanya, zu mishnas Rabbi Nassan. All of this is Rabbi Nassan's opinion. I'll say, here we go, and this is perhaps the most important line of the sugya. Rabbi Omer, Ein ani roe dvar Rabbi Nassan be'elu, be'elu elo cholkos b'shava. Rabbi says, no. You're wrong. The halacha over here is that women in general split equally. Now I will say, let's talk about this for just a moment because this is a fascinating halacha. Let me tell you outside for just a moment. The way that the Rambam paskins is as follows. Let's talk about an ideal case. What's an ideal case? Right? Where husband dies and there's enough money in the estate to satisfy all of the ksuvas. Now again, I will say, remember again, there's a number of criteria to remember in this case. This is a very specific case. All three ksuvas are dated, same date. We're going to talk about the last Mishnah on Amud Beis, which we'll get to today, Meretz Hashem. So again, we're going to talk about where he marries wives at different intervals, so one wife has an earlier ksuva, a later ksuva. So obviously, if the dates are incredible, right? If you have, different dated ksuvas, so the earlier the date, the precedence you have in collecting your ksuva. So again, we're setting up a case over, there's no precedence, All three ksuvas dated the same date. Okay? That's crazy. That's issue number one. Issue number two, different amounts in the ksuva. Different amounts. Again, wife 100, wife 2, 200, wife 3, 300. In a perfect world, Reuven dies. There's enough money in the estate to satisfy all three ksuva debts. Beautiful. Done. Distribute. We're done. What's unique about this case? Not enough money in the estate. Not enough money in the estate. So now it's interesting as follows. So the Mishnah seems to set up a situation when there's not enough money in the estate, so we're going to go ahead and start dividing things up in different ways. So we'll say, just show you the way the Mishnah is structured logically. The way we look at money is we look at it in units of 100, because that's the way the Mishnah is set up. So you've got a first case is an estate that has 100 zuz, second case is an estate that has 200 zuz, third case is an estate that has 300 zuz. And I will say, when we look at that, we look at each zuz and see what level of claim do each of the women have on the zuz. So for example, on the first 100 zuz, who has a claim on the first 100 zuz? Who has that claim? All of them. Right? Because remember, again, everyone has a minimum ksuva of at least 100 zuz. When you work your way up, who has a claim on the second 100 zuz? Wives 2 and 3. Right? Who has a claim on 300 zuz? Right? You're the only wife 3. So when you look at it that way, I will say that's how the Mishnah is approaching it. Comes up, so we work through this whole sugya. And that's why the Mishnah has to kind of come up, because the numbers don't really work if that's how you look at it. That's how the Mishnah comes up with these ideas. No, we're talking about a case where wife number two said to wife number three, wife number two said to wife number one, I have no claim on the first 100. So she's removing. So comes along Rebbe and says, stop. That's not how distribution works. If there's enough money in the estate to pay out all the ksuvas, fantastic. The moment there's not enough money in the estate to pay for the ksuvas, the default is split equally. And I will say that's how you pass halacha l'maisa. So therefore, again, in a case like this, where you have three wives, right? One is owed 100, one is owed 200, one is owed 300. So halacha l'maisa, Reuven dies, there's 300 zuz left in the estate, 100 zuz per wife. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to start figuring out hundreds of, because we'll say essentially we can't look at an estate like that. We just look at the estate as a whole. No, it's not enough money to satisfy the debt. Split everything equally. That's the halacha l'maisa. Next. So now let's see the impact of this on business. Because on business, this is a really riveting case. Take a look. V'chein shlosha she'etilu l'kis. Remember again, what the Mishnah said, I don't think I printed this. Okay, I'll look it up. Good. What the Mishnah said was as follows. So the Mishnah says, so too, you have three people, three right, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, who put money into a pot for business. So the Lashon of the Mishnah was what? V'chein gimel she'atilu l'kis, pechsu, ohosiru, kachin cholkin. If the business, if they made money, lost money, this is how they divide up profit and losses. And we assume, this is how, in accordance with their investment, that's how they're splitting up profits and losses. So we'll say, here we go. Amar Shmuel, listen to this case. Shneim she'atilu l'kis, zeman v'zemasayim. So Reuven and Shimon invested in a business. Reuven put in 100 zuz. Shimon put in 200 zuz. Amad beis. Haschar la'emtza. So we'll say, incredible. What's haschar la'emtza? They split profit and loss equally. Now we're going to see what's the logic behind. So again, even though their investment amounts are different, they're going to split profits and losses equally. So let's analyze. Omar Rabba. Rabbi says, Mistabra milsei de Shmuel b'shor lecharisha v'omid lecharisha. So we'll say, this is incredible. When does this make sense? This makes sense if Reuben and Shimon are partnering to purchase an ox for plowing together. So I will say, listen to this. If you're purchasing an ox for plowing, then everyone's investment is just as important. In other words, I will say, imagine this just a moment, right? So the ox is 300 zuz. So Reuben invests 200, Shimon invests 100. Is Shimon's investment any less important than Reuben's? Is it any less important? No. Why? Because he can't get the ox without Shimon's investment. The fact that Shimon invested less does not make his investment any less critical to have an ox for plowing purposes. Shabbosai, so this is fascinating. So because his investment is no less critical, he's looked at in halacha as a 50-50 partner. Shabbosai, now I just want to put a caveat over here. This is assuming, of course, that there was no partnership agreement to the contrary, right? If Reuben and Shimon go into business together, and ultimately they have an equity partnership, so therefore, again, in the partnership agreement, it says our profits and losses will be split along equity lines. Okay, as they say, ain al malidaber. There's nothing to talk about anymore because we've gone ahead and we've papered that. This is talking about in the absence of an agreement. In the absence of an agreement. But it's such a fascinating idea. Essentially, what Aloha says is, do we look at your investment as crucial? How do you define crucial? We'll say, how do you define crucial? If I didn't make it, ultimately, again, would the results still be intact? So in this case, Reuben invests 100, 200, Shimon invests 100 for the purchase of an ox for plowing. If Shimon did not make his investment, would ultimately the ox be plowing? The answer is no. So because of that, his investment is crucial, indispensable, and therefore the halacha looks at him as a 50-50 partner. When your investment is an indispensable part of the result of the partnership, halacha looks at you as a 50-50 partner in the endeavor. Incredible. Incredible. However, says Rava, aval b'shar l'charisha v'omi l'tvicha. But Rabbi will say, if halacha, let's listen to this. If let's say they bought a shar, but now ultimately, again, they're going to go, let's say, take a look at Rashi. B'shar l'charisha, shalachu b'hen shar l'achrosh. They bought together, right? They bought an ox to plow. V'charshin v'ein chelko shelzeh moil below chelko shelzeh klum. Rabbi will say, here's the chav. Reuven's portion doesn't mean anything without Shimon's investment. Therefore, hilchach cholkin b'shava. So Rabbi comes along. However, now back to the Gemara. Aval v'shala charisha v'amin l'tvicha zeh no talafima osav v'zeh no talafima osav. Rabbi said, watch this. If they go ahead and they bought a shar to plow, but then they decide, you know what? Let's barbecue. And so what do? They shech the shar. Then Rabbi will say, everyone what? Everyone takes in accordance with their investment. Now that makes sense. Why? Because here, you're literally, physically dividing up the animal. So when you're physically dividing up the animal, there is a way to allocate 200 zuz to Reuven and 100 zuz to Shimon. So I'll say, you hear the distinction? When the partnership is in a dynamic activity could only occur because of the investment of both of them. One invested more, one invested less. That is true. But lamaisa, one's investment would be meaningless without the other. Then halacha lamaisa, they share in profits and losses equally. However, again, when we're actually talking about physically dividing something up, then halacha lamaisa, you can divide up in accordance with financial investment. So if they're now shechting the ox, Reuven will get 200 zuz worth of meat, Shimon will get 100 zuz worth of meat. Look at Rashi. Zenot lefima osav. We'll say first white line on top of the Sadikim of Ezin Rashi. Shai mischalik leivarav. You're literally dividing up the ox. V'hadinaket reishis. Mekhal nacharisha. Rabu sashmin and the afagav de meikara daita de miflik b'shove. Nachus l'shutfos hashto de sheva basra. So we'll say, by the way, why did the Gemara say this as a case of they originally bought the animal to plow, and now they're going to go ahead and shecht it? Just say they bought it to shecht, you divide it up according to with investment, because it's a chiddush, Rashi says. Even if they entered into the partnership for the purpose of purchasing an ox for plowing purposes, right, in which case they were going to be 50-50 partners, and now they decided, let's shecht it and divide up the meat, even though now things have transitioned, ultimately, again, they split in accordance with their investment. So I will say, this is wild. This is absolutely wild. So here we go. So just let's just review this idea. So Shmuel comes along and says, Reuven and Shimon are investing money in a partnership, right? Reuven 200, Shimon 100 to purchase an ox for plowing purposes. The ox now generates income. How do they share? What's the profit sharing agreement? 50-50. Why? So Rav explains why. Because halacha lemaisa, even though they invested different amounts, Reuven's higher investment would be meaningless without Shimon's lower investment. Shimon's lower investment would be meaningless without Reuven's higher investment. Therefore, again, because they are both indispensable partners in the dynamic activity of the ox, they share in profits and losses 50-50. But says Rabba, if they're actually going to shecht the animal and literally divide up the animal, pieces of the animal, then in that case, halacha l'maisa, they will divide up in accordance with their investment. Incredible. Rav Hamnuna argues. Rav Hamnuna Amar, no, afilu shor lecharisha v'omer letvicha haschar le'emsa. So this is pretty wild. Rav Hamnuna says it's not true, even if they're going to shecht the animal. Ultimately, again, they go ahead and they divide up the animal equally. Pretty incredible. So we'll say, so this is the machlokas. See, here we go. So meisvei, let's analyze. So shnayim she'etilu l'kis zemana v'zema sayim haschar le'emtza. So we'll say, now the Gemara quotes our Mishnah. And what did our Mishnah say? Two people invest money into a business, Reuven and Shimon, right? And ultimately, Reuven invested 100. Shimon invested 200. I was reversing it. What's the halacha? Haschar le'emtza. So we'll say, what does it mean, haschar le'emtza? So literally, again, profits are split down the middle. My love, b'shar lecharish va'omer letvicha v'tiyufta d'rabba. They will say, are we not talking about a case where they originally purchased an ox for what purpose? To go ahead and plow. And then they decided to shecht it. So now they'll say, now they're literally dividing up the animal. And yet still, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, ultimately, again, haschar le'emtza. I'm sorry, the Braisa says haschar le'emtza, schar le'emtza, which means that they're dividing it up equally, even if what? Even if they're shechting it, that refutes Rabba's position. Seems to side with Rav Hamnuna's position. No. We're talking about a case where they bought an ox for plowing purposes, and the ox is going to be used for plowing purposes. That's the case where they will split all profits and losses right down the middle. Aval, shoda charish va'omid l'tvicha. But I will say, if they bought an ox for plowing and then decided to shecht it, my, what's the halacha? Zeno telefima osav, v'zeno telefima osav. Everyone takes literally in accordance with the amount of money that he's invested. Okay, says the Gemara, if that's the case, adetoni seifa. I will say, let's look at the end of that braisa. And what does the end of the braisa say? Lokach ze b'shalo v'ze b'shalo. I will say, it's another interesting partnership case. Let's say Reuven went ahead. Look at Rashi. Lokach ze b'shalo shvarim b'ri'im b'masayim v'ze b'shalo shvarim kechush b'mona. I will say, watch this case. Reuven went ahead and bought with his own money healthy oxen for 200 zuz. Shimon bought with his own money, so weaker oxen, thinner oxen for 100 zuz. Okay, v'nisarvu. Rabbi says it's great. What does nisarvu mean? Right, nisarvu means they made a partnership. Right, you think it means like they got mixed up? No. They made a partnership. So Rabbi says, so they decided to make a partnership of all of their oxen. Oh, Rabbi says, what's the halacha? Zeno telefima osav. V'zeno telefima osav. Ultimately, so Rabbi says, in that case, Reuven. So then the partnership agreement is everyone shares in profits and losses in accordance with their investment. If that's the case, Rabbi says, liflog v'lisne b'didei. Why do you have, don't even bring in this case, but rather again, splice the resha case. How so? V'adarmurim, when is this so? When is this so that ultimately, again, halacha l'maisa, everyone splits equally? So the Gemara says, when is that so? B'shor l'charisha v'omi l'charisha. Ava b'shor l'charisha v'omi l'tvicha. In other words, we'll say, if you're telling me that the Braisa agrees with Rabba, namely, that halacha l'maisa, when the ox is being used for some type of dynamic activity, that is when Reuven and Shimon are going to split profits and losses equally, even though their investments are different. But if the ox is going to be shechted, then halacha l'maisa, again, everyone gets in accordance with their investment, literally the amount being in accordance with their investment. So then, don't bring up this case of the seifa. So you must say, the seifa's case is illustrating that. Here in this case, Reuven bought healthy oxen with his money, Shimon bought weaker oxen with his money, v'nisarvu, they made a partnership. Then the braisa says, oh, in that case, profit and losses are shared in accordance with investment. Why do you have to introduce a new case? If you want to illustrate a case of profit loss sharing in accordance with investment, just say like this, Ava b'shor lecharisha, v'omi letvicha, zeh no telefima osav, v'zeh no telefima osav. Just say that halacha lemaisa when they're actually shechting the animal. Then in that case, halacha lemaisa, everyone takes in accordance with their investment. To which the Gemara says, "Haki nami kamar." That's what it means to say. When is it so that Reuben and Shimon split equally, even though their investments amounts differ? It's a case ultimately again of what? Of an ox that was purchased for plowing and is being used for plowing. So we're going now with Shmuel and Rabba's understanding. That halacha lemaisa, when Reuben and Shimon are investing differing amounts, but what they're using the shor is for some type of dynamic activity, which obviously could not have happened without the investment of either of them, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, they split the profits and losses equally. Because halacha says, since the result cannot have happened without either of their investment, they're looked at as 50-50 partners. However, nase kimishalokach zebishalo, v'zebishalo, v'nisarvu, So that's when they split equally. When they're purchasing an ox and using an ox ultimately for plowing. However, aval, b'shor lecharisha v'omil l'tvicha, but listen to this, if they went ahead, Reuven and Shimon, so we'll say same case. Reuven invested 100, Shimon invested 200. Now originally they bought an ox for plowing purposes. However, v'omil l'tvicha, but now they're going to shecht it. So what's the halacha we'll say in that case? Nase kimisha lakach zebishalo, v'zebishalo, v'nisarvu. That is, so the Shechita case is similar to a case of Reuven bought his own herd, Shimon bought his own herd. They went ahead and they combined their resources into a partnership. In that case, profit and losses are split in accordance with investment. So the Shechita case is like that case. And in the Shechita case also, if they're literally slaughtering and dividing up the animal, they will go ahead and split it according to investment. Everyone takes in accordance with his investment. Incredible. So right now, where the Gemara is holding is Rav and Shmuel are understanding this. So let's just clarify. Rav and Shmuel are understanding that halacha lemaisa, Reuven and Shimon go into business with each other, partnership, they invest differing amounts. So how do we split profits and losses? So the Gemara essentially says it depends. Rabba and Shmuel, what does it depend on? If they're investing in something which produces a dynamic result, a good example of that would be plowing ox, where again, the result could not have happened without the investment of both parties. Therefore, in the absence of a stipulated agreement, they share in profits and losses equally. However, halacha lemaisa, well, we'll see what the halacha lemaisa is. However, when ultimately, again, they have invested in an animal and we are quite literally physically dividing up that animal. Like now, we invested in a shar, we're going to shecht that shar. How do you go ahead and divide up the meat? In accordance with actual investment. That's what the Gemara is holding right now. Now again, that's in contrast to Rav Hamnuna, where Rav Hamnuna says, no, in every partnership, the default is 50-50, unless otherwise stipulated, even if you have differing investment amounts. Okay, so let's finish this up. So the Gemara says, Tanan, v'chein shlosha she'tilu l'kis pichasu ohosiru. So we'll say again, remember, what was our Mishnah? Let's go back to our Mishnah. What did I say in our Mishnah? Three guys, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, all invest in a partnership, pichasu ohosiru. And I both said, we are assuming that the case of partnership in the Mishnah is parallel to the case of the Ksuva in the Mishnah. Right? In the case of Ksuva, the Mishnah, what did you have? You had three women, three different Ksuvas. So therefore, what are we automatically assuming? What are we assuming? They're talking about a case of three guys, three partners, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, all of them investing differing amounts. And now what happens? So Pichso, Siru, the business, right, either appreciates or depreciates. Kach hein cholken. Ultimately, again, this is how they divide up the estate. So the Gemara says, "My love, pichsu pichsu mamish, hosiro hosiro mamish." So I will say, does it not mean that literally the estate made money, the estate lost money? And I will say, it sounds like from the Mishnah that how do they divide profits and losses according to their investment? Because we also remember again, the Mishnah's view on ksuva was how do you pay out ksuva in accordance with the value of the ksuva. So the Mishnah sounds like it's paskining, like, right, that the Mishnah is paskining that when they invested differing amounts into the estate, that's how they share in profits and losses. We'll say, this is incredible. Amar Rav Nachman, no. Lo. Hosiru zuzi chadati hichsu astiro detunisa. Now we'll say, let me say this outside, then we'll see this. This is absolutely riveting. So the Gemara says like this. No. What does it mean when it says it appreciates? The money of the partnership is still there. What it means is they were able to exchange the money for the partnership into better, higher level currency. That's what it means, hosiru. In other words, they didn't make more money. It's just the same money that has transformed into a higher level of currency. Or I will say, for that matter, halacha l'maisa, when it says they lost money, it doesn't mean they lost money. Just the currency which they have was devalued and is usable for nothing other. So astiro dutunis, Rabbi Yosei means, let's take a look at Rashi. Zuzi chadati, Rashi says, shematilin zuzim yishanim, v'nasnu ba'an at shenasu chadashim. So Rabbi Yosei, they took the original partnership capital, and was able to transform that very capital into newer currency. V'yotzin heim botza, hilcha cholkin lefi hamos, v'cholchad ma'idiyov shakil. So Rabbi Yosei, listen to this. This is incredible. What's the case here? Reuven, Shimon, and Levi all invested money. Reuven 100, Shimon 200, Levi 300. Okay. So we'll say now they have Zuzin. Let's say through a series of transactions, they were able to upgrade the nature of the currency. Now we'll say, in that case, everyone shares in that currency in accordance with the proportion of their investment. What's the logic of that? What's the logic? Because it's the same investment capital. In other words, we'll say, let me give you an example. Imagine the following scene, right? Reuven and Shimon and Levi, this is very exciting. Reuven, Shimon and Levi, they decide, they're sitting in the sukkah, let's do business. You're allowed to transact business in the sukkah also. Should do everything in the sukkah. So we'll say, so what happens? Not on Yom Tov, right? So Reuven goes ahead, so they all sit down at the table on Chol HaMoed, right? Reuven puts 100 zuz down, Shimon puts 200 zuz down, Levi puts 300 zuz down. They make a l'chaim mazel tov to the new partnership. Reuven says, you know what? I had a change of heart. We're going to go ahead now and dissolve the partnership. But we did that, feel me? The halacha is we have to dissolve the partnership equally. Right? Probably incredible. Right? But it's a fantastic investment mechanism, right? Right? You came in with 100, now mamish, after a lechayim, this does happen sometimes after a lechayim. Right? So after a lechayim, you lose money, you make money. So no, obviously that doesn't make any sense. Right? Why not? Because halacha lemaisa, we're going to go ahead now, and what Rabbi Yosei? We're going to go ahead and divide up. In other words, when the partnership capital is there, so ultimately everything is divided in accordance with the actual capital. Everything is divided in accordance with the actual capital. So therefore, again, halacha lemaisa. So right, in other words, if the capital itself is extant, everyone goes ahead and divides up equally. So therefore, Rabbi Yosei, the Gemara suggests as follows, that in this case over here, where they took the partnership capital and simply did what? Upgraded the actual capital, nothing's been transacted with the estate, with the partnership. So therefore, everyone shares in their amounts equally. So because everyone shares in their amounts, good. Similarly, Rabbi Yosei, if the currency that they were using was devalued, everyone goes ahead and shares in that capital equally. So we'll say, that's why the Mishnah is not a riot. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the actual partnership capital is still there. Nothing's been done. So if nothing's been done, everyone shares in accordance with their actual partnership investment. So we'll say, that's how the sugya ends. By the way, the example of the capital being devalued, we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Istari ditsunisa, shenifsala hamatbea ve'ein yotzei tzbotza. So we'll say, this is talking about a case where halacha lemaisa, that the currency used was devalued. And I will say, sometimes currency, when it's devalued, all it becomes usable for is to put on the wound of a foot. So apparently, again, I guess some of the properties of the coin have certain healing curative abilities. So the currency was devalued. All it's used for is for a wound. So good. So we'll say, so how do we pass halacha lemaisa? So I'll share with you something amazing. I'm sorry, I meant to print it out, but I didn't. Let me just pull it up here quickly. I have it quickly, because it actually is a fascinating Shulchan Aruch. So I will say, so now listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is in Choshen Mishpat. You can see in Choshen Mishpat. Simen Kuf Ayin Vav Sif Hey. Here we go. Because no, this is an incredible. This is an incredible halacha. Hashutfin Shetilu Lekis. Shabbos, here we go. So partners go ahead and invest. They invest in a property, or they invest in a partnership together. Zemane v'zema sayim v'zeshin. Shabbos says, so again, Reuven's investing 100, Shimon's investing 200, Levi's investing 300. Or Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Good, right? So what happens? Shabbos says, v'nisasku kulam mamon stam. Shabbos says, again, the Shulchan Aruch points out, no partnership agreements. No partnership agreement. Because obviously, if there's a partnership agreement, there's nothing to talk about. Upichsu ohosiru. And now they go ahead and either, right, it appreciated, depreciated. Finisili, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, so hapecha, aschar o hapechas beinehem bishove lefi minyanam velo lefi mos. They both say, we paskin halacha lemaisa, we're going to see like Rav Hamnuna, that in the absence of a stipulated partnership agreement, ultimately, everything, all profits and losses are split equally among all of the partners. We do not look at the investment capital. Rather, halacha lemaisa, it is split in accordance with just 50-50. 50-50. So the Gemara says, v'afil lacha, listen to this, get ready. V'afil lacha shor l'tvicha. Now let's say this is true, we pass like Rav Hamnuna. So whether they're purchasing a shar for plowing purposes, or they're purchasing a shar ultimately again for slaughter purposes, in the absence of a partnership agreement, the halacha is that what? We split everything equally. Said everything equally. So however, so again, there is more to this halacha. But bottom line, Rabbi Yosef, which is really quite a fascinating halacha, we paskin that in the absence of a stipulated partnership agreement, all partners will share 50-50 or whatever, equally in losses and profits of the partnership. Obviously, if there is halacha lemaisa partnership agreement, everything is dictated by the details of that agreement. Beautiful. Let's see the Mishnah. Mishai nasvedal nashim. So we'll say man is married to four women. Apparently, there was tchias amesim since the last Mishnah. Right, so we'll say, so what? He's married to four women. Now, in this case over here, we'll say, as Rashi points out, the ksuvas have different dates. So umes, and then he dies. Harishona kodemes lishnia. Ultimately, again, the first wife takes precedence to the second wife. Ushnia lishlishis. Second wife takes precedence over the third. Ushlishis lirevius. Third wife before the fourth. So I want to say, so again, this is all where their ksuvas have different dates. First wife has earlier date. Second wife has later date. So on and so forth. Rishona mishpas lishnia. So we're going to see that for the first wife to collect, she has to take an oath that she has not previously collected her ksuba. She has, so wife one takes that oath to wife two. Shnia l'shlishis, wife two takes that oath to wife three. Shlishis l'revius, wife three takes that oath to wife four. Aye, what about wife four? V'arevius nifra shelo b'shavua. Wife number four collects her ksuba even without a shavua. Benanis Rabbi Snamis, Benanis says, v'chim ipnei shiachrona niskeres. Because wife number four was the last one, ultimately she gets to collect without a shvua. Afhilo sifra ela b'shvua. She also thinks, Rabbi says, understand, the shvua over here is a shvua that the wife has to swear she has not previously collected her ksuva money from any other source. So the Gemara said, listen to this. Hayu yotzos kulam yom echad. What happens if all the ksuvas were dated exactly the same day? Kala kodemes lechaber ta'afidu sha'achas zachsa. Rabbi says, then we look at what hour they got married. Let's say again, so we look at the hour. So in other words, if all the ksuvas were dated on the same date, we look at maybe who's earlier in the day. And Rabbi said, listen to this. The kachayu kosim Yerushalayim shows. Rabbi said, in Yerushalayim, they wouldn't just put the date of the ksuva, but rather what? They would put the time of the ksuva as well. Hayu kulan yotos b'sha achos. So Rabbi said, what happens if all the ksuvas have the same date, have the same time? Ain sham elamana cholkos b'shava. Then Rabbi will say, ultimately that reverts back to the last Mishnah. Then again, if there's only a limited amount of money in the estate, then halacha lemaisa, they'll all go ahead and divide equally. Rabbi will say, shkoyach. You'll put someone else out. For sure.
We are privileged to continue today in Mesilas Yesharim, and today we will conclude in Meretz Hashem, the third parak. So the Ramchal continues, and he says, Kina davar hazeh. So remember again, in the last year, he gave the mashal that life is often like these life-size mazes, that a person begins on a particular path, and until a person is able to get to the platform in the middle, where one is raised above the maze, only then is one able to see the derech, the path that will allow one to ultimately reach their intended goal. So the Ramchal writes as follows, Kein ha-davar hazeh, the same is true with life. Misha adayin la-mashal b'yitzrohu b'soch ha-shvilin, lo yuchal ha-havchin b'neim. If someone is not yet asserted dominion, or reigned in his yitzer, his desires, he's essentially living a life where he's stuck in the paths. Lo yuchal ha-havchin b'neim, and unable to tell the difference between the paths. But those who are able to rein in their yetzer, not to conquer it per se, but at least to rein it in so that I control it, it does not control me. So the Ramchal writes over here, so often if I'm not in control of my yetzer, I'm not in control of my desires, my wants, my proclivities, so often they will steer me down the wrong paths in life. But if at the end of the day I know someone, I have someone in my life who has made it to the middle of the maze and who stands perched above the maze and is able to see the maze in its entirety, that individual has the ability to direct me as to which direction in life I should go. So the Ramchal says something amazing. So imagine for a moment you were able to meet someone who made it to the end of the maze, or I should say the middle of the maze. He made it to the platform in the middle, so he's raised above all of the different paths in the maze. He knows exactly which are the right paths, which are the dead ends. What would he say to you? What would he say to you? So Ramchal says something amazing. What would he say to us? Bo'u chashvon. Bo'u nechashev shechashbono shel olam. Ki kvar nisu v'ra'u v'yadu shezeh levadu ha'derech ha'amiti. L'hagia ha'adam el ha'tova asher u'mevakesh v'lo zulazeh. Ramchal says, you know what they would tell you? Bo'u chashvon. Live life with a chashvon. It's a play on the pasuk, but live life with a chashvon. Meaning what? Be the kind of person who lives life with zihirus, who lives life with awareness, who lives life with a sense of cognition, a sense of introspection. Don't be the kind of person who acts first and thinks later. But again, going back full circle, be the kind of person who identifies what is the tov ha'amiti, what is the ultimate good, what is the ra ha'amiti, what is the ultimate negative, what actions will lead me towards the tov ha'amiti and prevent me from being ensnared by the raha amiti, klalo shel davar. That's what the person in the middle of the maze would tell me. Think before you act. Have clarity. Have introspection. Clarity of mind. Decide where you want to get to, and then identify which actions will help you get there. Klalo shel davar. So Ramchal says the general principle is: Tzarech ha'adam lios misponim b'sichlo tamid b'chol zman u'bizman kavua b'hisbodido. It's a very profound statement. The Ramchal says, the general rule in life is, a person has to be aware, thinking, and thoughtful at all times. And he has to set aside a time to be alone with himself and to think, what is the true path? What is the path of Torah that a person has to walk on? So in other words, zihirus. Person, and the Ramchal over here, we'll discuss this more in the next chapter, but a person has to actively set aside time for this pursuit, because like anything else, I don't set aside time for it, just doesn't happen. After a person identifies what is the best path for him to take, then I could ask myself, will these particular actions advance me on the path or derail me from the path? Because if a person identifies the path they want to take, and then identifies which actions will help me along this path and which ones will derail me, such a person has the ability to be successful. Such a person has the ability to become pure. Such a person has the ability to ultimately straighten out his or her life. Kemo shakosef Omer, Palis ma'ago raglecha v'chol drachecha yikonu, v'omer yinach besat drachinu v'nachkora v'nashuva al Hashem. So a really profound idea that the Ramchal is advancing. This concept that, first, I think the metaphor of life being a maze is such an important one, because we all experience this at different times. We go down a path, and at first the path looks good. At first the path looks correct, and then over time, I only begin to realize I'm hitting a dead end. I'm hitting a dead end. The Ramchal says it doesn't have to be that way. If I think ahead before I act and I identify the path I want to take, a good path, now I need to make sure I'm choosing the right path. And then before I act, I ask myself, will these actions lead me further on the path I want to go? Or will they chas v'shalom lead me on a different path which could be self-destructive? If I analyze each of my decisions through that prism, suddenly I'm making well-informed life decisions. And suddenly everything I'm doing is helping to contribute towards my greater life advancement. We'll stop over here. Mazel tov on finishing the third chapter of Pirkei Avos. Looking forward on Sunday, Me'ez Hashem, to beginning Perek Dalid. Have a wonderful Shabbos.